Tape recorded message number TL290. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Open your Bibles to the prophecy of Jeremiah. Our study is in chapter 11, and today we begin with the 18th verse. You have noticed that the prophecy of Jeremiah is in a number of small segments. And oftentimes the understanding is simply based upon recognizing who it is that is speaking, who is being spoken to, and then what is said concerning this one or this person. Sometimes Jehovah, that is the Lord, will speak of himself. Sometimes he will speak of Jeremiah. Sometimes of the men of Judah. But in the 18th verse of the 11th chapter, Jeremiah speaks, and it concerns what the Lord hath told him concerning the men of Anathoth, the men of his own city. And he says, "The Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showedest me their doings." This tells us that Jeremiah had received a revelation from the Lord that the men of Anathoth, unknown to him, were conspiring against his life. These were his own fellow citizens. And then this is what the men of Anathoth say about Jeremiah. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, and this is what they said, "Let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered." They did not like his message. They did not like his prophecies. What they wanted to hear was the thing that would tickle their ears. And his own fellow citizens of the place where he lived, made his home, determined to destroy the tree and the fruit, and to cut him off from the land of the living, that his name might no more be remembered. Now, in verse 20, Jeremiah prays for vengeance against these men of Anathoth. And this is Jeremiah speaking, and he says, "But, O Lord of hosts, the judgest righteously, the triest the reins in the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause." And now the Lord speaks, he replies to Jeremiah, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation." As I've said before, this was no dispensation of grace. It was not a time when God was seeking to show forth the graces of his character. And therefore, since they had made their determination and taken their stand against Jeremiah, this very severe punishment would be visited upon them. Now, when we come to the 12th chapter in the first four verses, we have a record here of the prayer of Jeremiah and what Jeremiah said when he prayed. "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward them. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn? The herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, and this has to do with Jeremiah, he shall not see our last end. That's what the people of Anathoth said of Jeremiah, he shall not see our last end. Now, this was the prayer of Jeremiah, and he's very indignant at the treatment that his own fellow citizens accorded him. And he asked vengeance from God, God who is a just God. And he says, you know the motives of men. You know the desires of men, and therefore he made this confident appeal to God. Now, beginning with verse 5, you will notice that the Lord speaks, and he speaks to he speaks to Jeremiah. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein you trust they wearied thee, how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? What will you do? And you can begin to see here that the Lord rebukes Jeremiah, and while Jeremiah is sure that the Lord is righteous, he wonders why it is that the wicked prosper and why it is the righteous suffer. So the Lord is replying to Jeremiah, and he says to him, if you're now in great distress, what are you going to do later? Because far worse things were yet to happen. He says, not only have the men of Anathoth, even your brethren, they have conspired against thee, but your own brothers and sisters, the members of your family are traitors to you. You cannot believe any of them, because they're concealing their hatred of you, their enmity of you, on deceitful words. That's what we have here, beginning with verse 6, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, they have dealt treacherously with thee, yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. In verse 7, I have forsaken my house, I have left mine heritage, I have given my dearly beloved of my soul into the hands of mine enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have taken made my pleasant portion desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth at the heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall defar from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have any peace. They have sown wheat, but they shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Now this is Jehovah who answers the prayer of Jeremiah, who speaks to Jeremiah and tells him that all the efforts is going to come to nothing. Now, beginning here with verse 14 of the 12th chapter, Jehovah will speak concerning the nations. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors. See, it is Jehovah speaking. He's speaking against the evil neighbors of Judah that touch the inheritance which I've caused my people Israel to inherit. The inheritance was the land, and they touched upon it. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land, and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after I have plucked them out, I will return, and have compassion on them, and bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Now, from these words we learn that the surrounding nations, that they've been taking advantage of Israel's distresses to lay hand little by little on the inheritance that God had given them. But the Lord declared, Jehovah declared, that they would be carried captive from their own lands, and that Judah will be in time restored. And then afterwards the Lord said he would have compassion on these nations and restore them each to its heritage. If then they will learn from Israel to acknowledge the Lord, just as formerly they taught Israel to acknowledge Baal, then they shall be made partakers of all the blessings of Israel, but if not, they shall perish. Now, of course, here we see a faint prophecy of the restoration of Israel, and looking still further, the great blessings that are to come to the other nations through them. This brings us to the 13th chapter, which is commonly called the sign of the linen girdle. And beginning with chapter 13, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah. Thus saith Jehovah unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So, verse 2, Jeremiah will relate what he did. So I got the girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and I put it on my loins. In verse 3, the Lord speaks a second time. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, this is what he said, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon your loins, and arise, go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. And Jeremiah tells what he did. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And then the Lord speaks to him the third time. Verse 6, it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then verse 7, he says, I went to Euphrates, and I digged, and I took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It had decayed, and it was profitable for nothing. Now, the application of this is going to be made, for this was a sign. What does this sign mean? Then in verse 8, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord. Notice that that's always capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that's always the Hebrew word Yahweh, which we bring over into English and simply say Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord. This is the 9th verse. After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. You see, here was a girdle which was fit to be worn and which a man could take pride in wearing. Now it had decayed, it had rotted, and the Lord says, I will, after this matter, mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. And this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord. that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. And you will notice that Judah and Israel are judged of being equal as far as guilt is concerned. That is the explanation. The girdle was to be a sign that Jehovah would send Judah into captivity beyond the Euphrates, and there his proud refusal to forsake his idols would be utterly destroyed. And just as the girdle, that part of a man's garment, is wound around the man's body and is very near to him, so Israel and Judah were very near to the Lord, but they refused to be his people, and they went after other gods, and they worshipped idols. And this resulted in their ruin and in their destruction. And so, as captives, they must now make the journey to Euphrates, which Jeremiah has taken to be a sign to them. Now there comes yet another sign. Therefore, thou shalt, this is verse 12. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them the word. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then the Lord speaks, but thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. See, this is the Lord speaking to Judah. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. While he looked for light, he turned it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. And he continues, but if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes will weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. And what we have here, of course, is an appeal for the people to forsake their pride and to forsake their confidence in themselves and to glorify the Lord before the last glimmer of light fades out and they fall in the darkness and are lost in utter darkness. And God reveals his great grief at the pride of his people, his flock, and all of the results that came out of this. Now, in verse 18, we get the message to the king and the queen. Say to the king and the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be destroyed. Pardon me, the cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as a chief over thee, shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? Now, this is an appeal to the king and the queen. We're not sure as to who was king and who was queen at exactly the time these words were spoken. It was probably Jehoiakim and his mother, because they were carried away in the second captivity. And they're exhorted to humble themselves. And they're reminded of their responsibility, for the Lord's flock had been committed unto them. they had themselves taught the Chaldeans to become their masters by calling them in for help against Egypt. Instead of looking to God for deliverance, they had looked to the Chaldeans, and now the Chaldeans have become their masters. And if you say in your heart, for God's looking at the heart and knows what the king will say, wherefore come these things upon thee? Why do these things come upon thee? And then Jehovah will reply, for the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore I will scatter them as the stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, and this is thy portion, the portion of the measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts and thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thy adulteries and thy nayings, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? And the Lord's reply, in case they ask, and he expects them to ask why these things are happening, is that all of it is simply the result of their sin. And the habit of evil, just the habit of doing wrong, had become unstoppable. They just could not stop it. And it was going to be the punishment of the king, that he would be driven just like stubble, straw is driven before a tempest. And this is all because they forgot God and they trusted in falsehood. For the shameful idolatries of the king and the queen had all been committed in the all-seeing eye of God. Now, this brings us to the 14th chapter. And the 14th and the 15th chapter are a unit. They contain a good amount of valuable material. And first of all, the Lord will speak to Jeremiah, and it concerns the dearth. And this will take in the first six verses, this great drought. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, the gates thereof languish, they are blackened the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and they covered their heads, because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high place. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. Now, in this case, it was the Lord that withheld the rain. And he did this because of the iniquity of his people, and that by this means they might be brought to repentance. Again, let me tell you, if anyone would try to take these and bring it down to present time and say that every time that there's a shortage of rain, it's because that the Lord causes it not to rain, then he does not understand the character of this present dispensation, when all God does is show love and favor to the undeserving. That does not mean that every place will get the rain that it needs at the time that it needs it, as it will in the kingdom, but will not at the present time. But it most certainly does mean that God just goes on to show love and favor to the most undeserving, and he will continue to do this until the very end. But not here. For I remember quite well the statement, and you will remember well the statement of God concerning Israel. You only have I known of all the people of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for your iniquities. Now, there may have been another country close by at this time that, it might get rain, might even get floods, might even have a drought, but these would just be the outworkings of nature that God himself had established. And inasmuch as the world then was in an upset condition, this would not be the hand of God. But in Israel, when these things took place, this was the hand of God. And so all they could find was dried up wells, cracked earth, farmers not working, beasts were frantic for their lack of grass. And of course, all this touched the Lord to the heart. Now, Jeremiah prays. People will not pray, it seems, but Jeremiah will. And Jeremiah says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in a time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. That's the prayer of Jeremiah as he confesses the sin of the people, but he intercedes for them by pleading the name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah, a name that was very intimately bound up with the people of Israel. He acknowledges that Jehovah is the hope and the Savior of Israel. And why should he act toward them as if he were just a passing stranger? Why should he act as if he had no power or wisdom to save? He's in the midst of them. But thus saith the Lord unto this people. For here the Lord replies, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings for an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Well, now, Jeremiah, and one thing we learn from this is that a man can really talk to God. He can reason with God. He can plead his case. And Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. This is what the false prophets were saying. And he says they've misled the people into expecting deliverance. And these people were not to blame for not believing in the impending judgment. But the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. Well, he says, by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, pardon me, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Now in the 17th verse, beginning with the 17th verse, Jehovah will weep over his people. Therefore thou shalt say this word of the Lord, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth in the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter in the city, behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Now, beginning with the 19th verse, Jeremiah confesses and he intercedes. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? He asked the Lord. Hath thy soul, O Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We look for peace, and there is no good, for a time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities, the Gentiles, that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Well, if the heavens is that realm of clouds that can give showers, but this is one place in the Word of God where the word heaven certainly means these earthly rulers, like the king of Egypt, king of Assyria. Can they give the showers? And this is the word for heavens, but it does mean rulers. O Lord our God, therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Now, it was hard indeed for Jeremiah to believe that the Lord had utterly abandoned Zion and that there was no deliverance, no salvation. So once again here, he confesses the sins of his people and he confesses the sins of their fathers. And he beseeches the Lord to receive them again. Why, he even brings up the disgrace that would be brought on the name of the Lord among the nations if Judah should perish. He reminds the Lord of his covenant, the covenant he'd made with the people of Israel. And that it's not by some heathen incantation to bring rain upon the land. No, he looks to the creator of all things to do this. Well, the Lord replies, and what he says is very strong. Thus saith Jehovah unto me. This is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. We see in the past that the intercession of Moses certainly did much. And the intercession of Samuel was very, very effective. The effective, fervent prayer of these righteous men did avail much. But even these men, if they were there, they could not now change God's purpose to punish this people. Now, he continues, it shall come to pass if they say unto thee, if Judah says, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as for famine to the famine, and such as for captivity to captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the earth, to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside and ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou hast gone away backward. Therefore will I stretch out mine hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with your repenting. And I will fan them with the fan in the gates of the land, and I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and tears upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her sun is gone down while it was yet day. She has been ashamed and confounded. The residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. You notice how we can recognize the end of a segment by the statement, saith the Lord. So Jeremiah had to tell them of the terrible fourfold death that awaited them. A most unpleasant thing, but he had to tell them. It had been appointed to them. And to tell them how they would be scattered among all kingdoms because of the wickedness of their own kingdom. And this had reached its zenith in the days of Manasseh, wicked King Manasseh. So there could be no pity for Jerusalem, which had forsaken the only source of compassion and salvation. So the great blessings which have been given to them by the Lord in the past is not going to save them, because even these would vanish and all come under the power of the enemy. Well, this just about broke the heart of Jeremiah. And so we get his lament here in the 10th verse. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I don't think any of us could completely understand his feelings. And oftentimes when we contend for the truth, contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints, while we do it in the spirit of love, and most of all that is love for the truth, and yet we cannot allow love for the people to in any way cause us to compromise, we sometimes wonder why it is that we have been brought to the place where we have to be men of contention and we have to be men of strife. And you get to a place where you would be like he says, I haven't loaned money at exorbitant interest. I didn't do that. You would think I was a money lender. Yet every one of them doth curse me. And in the 11th verse, the Lord answers Jeremiah. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and the time of affliction. The Lord continues, shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasure will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. Now here is a promise of kindness and mercy for that little faithful remnant of Israel when the time of punishment shall have come. God will not be indiscriminate in his punishments. Even the enemy will beg for their intercession before God. I'll cause the enemy to entreat you well, and so on. And he continues here, and he says, you'll go into this land, and but remember, he says, that the strength of Judah, which was iron, could never prevail against that of Babylon, the kingdom of northern iron and steel. No, All of them must go into captivity, even Jeremiah himself. Now in the 15th verse, Jeremiah will pray once again. O Lord, he says, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy longsuffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? So, here, Jeremiah prays for deliverance. He tells how he suffered for the Lord's sake, and he tells how completely he had accepted and had proclaimed the word of the Lord, and he was delighted upon him. And he tells how the hand of the Lord had filled him with indignation. He was even in sympathy with God. He could never join the multitudes that laughed and mocked, but he sat alone, separated from the people and separated unto God. And yet he felt in doubt, could it be that the Lord had even forsaken him? Well, we will not have time to get the Lord's reply here to Jeremiah. It's a short portion, but my time has already run out. And beginning with the 19th verse, we get the Lord's reply to Jeremiah. But we will take that up in our next study. It has been my pleasure to teach you. I thank you for listening, and I trust that you are finding this examination of the book of Jeremiah to be a blessing to you. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and who keep it. Till we meet again around the word in our next study, I bid you goodbye.